Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey everybody, it's Joe McGee. Welcome to Through the Bible, where we are going Genesis to Revelation in chronological order as it happened. And so we're in the book of Exodus, actually kind of winding down the last five chapters. It's an incredible book. Tells you what they were doing, why they did it. God's a very detailed God, and has his relationship with Moses had got to the point where they know each other very well. And so there's just some great scripture. So we're going to pick up. But in the last session, I mentioned about how I used to have my kids and have my staff or anybody said, you ought to read just a proverb a day. If you would read one proverb a day for a month, it would change your life. And so I think I've mentioned this probably 50 times in recording over the years, but I've actually probably never done it on the air. And so somebody asked, well, have you ever done this? Well, I'm going to do it today. This is kind of about a 20-minute session today, but I'm going to take about 2 minutes and read a proverb. And what we're going to do, we're going to start in Proverbs 1. It doesn't matter what day it is. That's what's great about Proverbs. Just jump in where you're at. You know, if it's day, like 28 or 22, just jump in that day and you pick it back up in the beginning. So just listen carefully. This is real good. This is, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and we're in the book of Exodus, but we're going to take time and read a proverb. It's the wisdom of God. And so Proverbs chapter 1 says this: these are the proverbs of Solomon. Now, you know, Solomon wrote the first 29 books of Proverbs. The last two are by two other guys, but Solomon wrote the bulk of Proverbs. These are the proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. The purpose of these proverbs is to teach people wisdom and discipline and to help them understand wise sayings. Through these proverbs, people receive instruction, discipline, good conduct, and doing what is right, what is just, what is fair. Now, that's a big statement. What are you going to do? Well, it'll teach you what to do, what's right. How do you know what's right? Proverbs tells you what's right. And so verse 4, these proverbs will make the simple-minded clever. They will give knowledge to the people, to the young people, give them purpose. Let these wise sayings, let them listen to them, and they'll become even wiser. Let those who understand receive guidance by exploring the depth of meaning in these proverbs, these parables, these sayings, these riddles. Number one says, fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Only fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my child, to what your father teaches you. Do not neglect your mother's teaching. What you learn from them will crown you with grace, clothe you with honor. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. They may say, come, join with us. Let us hide and kill somebody. Let us ambush the innocent. Let's swallow them alive like grave swallows its victims. Though they are in the prime of life, they will go down to the pit of death. And the loot we get will fill our houses with all kinds of things. Come, throw in your lot with us. We'll split our loot with you. Don't go along with them, my child. Stay far away from their paths. They rush to commit crimes. They hurry to commit murder. When a bird sees a trap being set, it stays away. But not these young people. They set an ambush for themselves. They booby trap their own lives. Such is the fate of all who are greedy for gain. It ends up robbing them of life itself. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. She calls out to the crowds along the main street and to those in front of the city hall. You simple-minded people, she cries. How long we keep being simple-minded? How long will you fools relish in your foolishness? How long will you fools fight the facts? Come, listen to me. I will pour out my spirit of wisdom upon you, and I'll make you wise. I called you so often, but you didn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice. You rejected my correction that I offered. So I will laugh when you are in trouble. Listen, this is God talking. God says, I will laugh when you are in trouble. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you, when calamity overcomes you like a storm, when you're engulfed by trouble, when you're in anguish and distress that overwhelm you. I will not answer you, God says, when they cry for help. Even though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me. Now, that's not a bumper sticker anywhere. For they hated knowledge. They chose not to fear the Lord. Now, that's one of the greatest passages in the Bible. I've told my kids a whole lot. Greatest thing you'll ever pray every day. Father, I give you permission. Teach me to fear you. For the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. since it says, teach me. They chose not to fear God. They rejected my advice. They paid no attention when I corrected them. That is why they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way. They must experience the full terror of the path they have chosen. For they are simple-minded who turn away from me to death. They are fools. Their own company will destroy them. But those who listen to me will live in peace and safety, unafraid of harm. Now that's a great last, just a verse 33, the last one. Those who listen to me, God says, those who listen to me will live in peace. Man, wouldn't that be great to have a peaceful life? How do you live in peace? Listen to God. If you listen to God, you'll live in peace. You will live in safety, unafraid of harm. So that is Proverbs chapter 1. Now, the reason I did that is because I've mentioned it so many times in teaching over the years. Proverbs is an incredible book, but you got to read it. You got to meditate on it. You got to quote it. You got to think about it. So we're picking up today in Exodus, coming toward the end of the book. This is about the tabernacle being put up, getting ready to do some things there. And it's just an incredible story. So we're going to pick up in chapter 35 of Exodus. And again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I always teach out of this because I like it. Real good modern English version. It says, now Moses called a meeting of all the people. He told them, you must obey the instructions from the Lord. Each week, work 6 days only. The seventh day is a day of total rest, a holy day that belongs to the Lord. Anyone who works on that day will die. Do not even light fires in your homes on that day. Now, I'm going to have to make a few comments as we go through this. This is the old covenant. This is the old covenant, great covenant. We needed the old covenant. That's why God gave it. But the reason God gave the old covenant is because he knew they couldn't keep it. The reason God gave the Ten Commandments, and by the way, there's a lot more. There's 613 commandments. There's 613. He started with 10, the Ten Commandments, Mount Sinai, engraved in the stone. He had to do it twice because he got mad, broke them, had to go up and get it again. The reason God gave the commandments because he knew he couldn't keep them. Because every time you broke the law, you had to go down to the tabernacle and you had to take a bull or a goat or a pigeon dove. It was costing them money because this isn't free stuff. It's one of your bulls, one of your goats. It's what you make money with, selling it and sacrificing, milking it. And so once a week, they're dragging a bull, a goat, a turtle dove down to the tabernacle and they're slitting his throat because the blood is only that covered sin. So the new covenant, we have a new and better covenant. When Jesus died on the cross, the day Jesus died on that cross, the Bible says in the temple, the veil that kept you from where the Ark of the Covenant was, the veil was torn top to bottom. And basically God was saying this, no more bulls, no more goats, no more sheep, no more sacrifices. It's your faith in what my son did, not what you do. And that's where God was heading from day one. When man sinned, when Adam and Eve got fired from the job, evicted from the house, kids started killing one another. That was God's plan from day one. He knew what he was doing. And so he says, now this is under the law. Don't light a candle. And I've got people make a real big thing out of the Sabbath. Well, you know, especially go to Israel. If you're in Israel on the Sabbath is from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. It's a 24-hour period. And they don't light a candle. And you're going to eat cold food. They're going to shut everything down. They'll come to all the Jewish people come to a kibbutz or a hotel. I remember one time we were in, I think, an embassy suite. And so Friday evening, our guide said, now watch what's going to happen. Sundown on Friday, people start pouring into the hotel. And they're local Jewish people. They're going to take a hotel room. They're going to come in the hotel, and they're going to sing and dance all night long. They're going to play their instruments, and they're going to yell and talk and holler and dance, twirl. That's old to the young. Everybody participates. Saturday morning, the father gets the family up, not mom. Dad gets everybody up, walks into the local synagogue. They worship God. Then they walk back to the hotel or the kibbutz where we're at, and they more celebration. They'll eat and dance and twirl. And then on sundown on Saturday, they get all the kids in a circle, and the eldest man of the family, usually the grandfather, will walk around that circle and lay hands on every kid. And he's praying in Hebrew, and he says, may the Lord make you as Ephraim and Manasseh. What he's saying is, may the Lord make you spiritually strong and economically creative. May God make you spiritually strong and economically creative. And so they hear that 52 times a year. Can you imagine in your house? Can you imagine 52 times a year, your dad laid hands on your head? Son, I expect you to be spiritually strong and economically creative. Can you imagine the impact that would have if you spent the first 18 years of your life in your home and 52 times a year, 52 times a year, dad laid hands on your head and said, son, I expect you to be spiritually strong and economically creative. Can you imagine the difference between that and said, man, you're an idiot. I don't know why we had you. I'll be glad when you're out of my house. And that's what most people deal with today. Dads are speaking the wrong thing. You got to speak life over your kids. You got to. So when you're going through the Old Testament like this, especially going through Exodus, this was the law. God's trying to point them in the right direction. People say, well, you keep the law. Well, I go to church on Sunday. I'm in church every Sunday because I preach. And if I'm not in my home church, I'm in my church. If I'm not preaching, I go to my home church here in Florida. And so I got a great pastor and we're part of it. And we participate, we pay a tithe. I believe in being part of the body of Christ in the local church. And so does it have to be Sunday? Well, it just happens to be that way because we sort of got used to it here in America. But it could be Tuesday or Thursday afternoon. The day itself is just setting aside time for God. And so the law has been done away with. It was good, but it pointed to the way of grace. And so verse 4, it says, then Moses said to all the people, this is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is invited to bring these offerings to the Lord. Gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, fine linen, goat hair for cloth, tan ram skins, fine goat skin leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the lamps, spices for the anointing oil and the fragrant incense, onyx stones and other stones to be set in ephod and on the chest piece. Verse 10, come, all you who are gifted craftsmen, construct everything that the Lord has commanded, the entire tabernacle, including the sacred tent and its coverings, the clasps, the frames, the crossbars, the posts, the bases, the ark and its poles, the ark's cover, the place of atonement, the inner curtain to close the ark in the most holy place, the table, its carrying poles, all the utensils, the bread of the presence, the lampstand, the accessories, the lamp cups, and the oil for the lighting, the incense altar and its carrying poles, the anointing oil and fragrant incense, the curtain for the entrance to the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering, the bronze grating of the altar and its carrying poles, utensils, the large wash basin with its pedestal, the curtains for the walls, the courtyard, the post, their bases, the curtain for the entrance to the the courtyard, the tent pegs, the tabernacle. I mean, you've got the tent pegs of the courtyard and their courts, beautifully stitched clothing for the priests to wear while ministering in the holy place, the sacred garments for Aaron and his sons to wear while they're officiating as priests. So all the people left Moses, went to their tents to prepare their gifts. In their hearts, they were stirred because they desired to do so. So they brought to the Lord their offerings, the materials for the tabernacle, for its furnishings, for the holy garments. Both men and women came, all those whose hearts were willing. Some brought to the Lord their offerings, gold, medallions, earrings, rings from their fingers, necklaces. They presented the gold objects, everything they had to the Lord. Others brought in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, fine linen, goat hair cloth. They gave the tan skins, the rams, the goat skins, the leather. Others brought silver and bronze objects as their offerings to the Lord. And then the acacia wood they brought in. Now, I know this gets sort of redundant, but listen, it's in here for a reason. The Bible says if everything Jesus taught when he was here on this planet had been written in a book, there would not be enough books on this planet to contain all that. Well, he only taught for 3.5 years, but he said so much, taught so much 3.5 years. God said, if you put it in a book, there would not be enough books to contain all of it. So God gives in the Bible what we need to know. Evidently, it was very important to know how God set up his tabernacle, how detailed he was, why he was detailed, why he asked what he asked. And that's what we have here. When you're going through Exodus, this is God saying, this is what I want. This is why I want it. And this is his purpose. So in verse 25, all the women who were skilled in sewing and spinning prepared blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen cloth. They brought them in. All the women who were willing used their skills to spin and weave the goat hair into the cloth. The leaders brought onyx stones and the other gemstones to be used in the ephod, the chest piece. They brought the spices, olive oil for the light, the anointing oil, the fragrance, incense. By the way, I've done this before. I've been to Israel several times, but when you went to the tabernacle, not only was it beautiful in detail, but it smelled incredibly good. God always used incense, fragrant oils. It smelled good. It looked phenomenal. It's like the pieces that were there. It's like, this was a special place. God said, guys, I am a holy God. I'm not some tree stump that you've carved out somewhere. And so in verse 30, Moses told them, the Lord has chosen the son of Uri, the grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. The Lord has filled Israel with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, great intelligence, and skill in all kinds of crafts. Now, I'll say that real slow. God picked a guy. There's a guy that's going to help build all this stuff. God has given him great wisdom, great intelligence, and great skill in all kinds of crafts. Who gave him that? God. God gave him the great wisdom, the great skill, the great presence. He was able to create beautiful objects from gold, silver, and bronze. Where did he get that? Yep, God. He's skilled in cutting and setting gemstones and carving wood. In fact, he has every necessary skill. He has every necessary skill to do what God's asked him to do. And the Lord has given him and his son and the tribe of Dan the ability to teach their skills to others. I've not only gifted you, I've gifted you to teach. I've gifted you to do, I've gifted you to teach. I've gifted you to do, but I've gifted you to teach. I've gifted you to do, but I've also gifted you to teach others. The Lord has given them special skills as jewelers, designers, weavers, embroiderers in blue, purple, scarlet yarn, and fine linen, cloth. They excel in all the crafts needed for their work. God didn't just have deuces working on the temple. He had the best. He had the best on the planet. Not only were they the best at what they did, they were gifted to do what they do. This is not just a normal thing. Hey, get a bunch of guys together. We're going to put this thing up. No. God said, listen, I've got the people already gifted that's going to do it. They're crafted. They've been trained in the craft. They're also anointed in the craft. They're trained in the craft, but they're anointed in the craft. So God had phenomenal things in mind for them, and it turned out to be a great deal. So what's God doing? Building his house. He wanted it looking a certain way. He wanted you, when you walk to the house of God, whoa. When you got close, you smelled it. You went, whoa, what is it? The presence of God. The presence of God. So God's trying to let them know, listen, I'm a great and awesome God. I hold the universe together in the palm of my hand. I walk on the depths of the sea and I fly through space at the speed of light. I'm God. I'm not just a tree stump. I'm not something you carved out. And so it's an amazing thing that God did. So we're going to pick this up next time, in Exodus 36, and kind of walk out what God did and why he did it. And there was a reason. There's a reason for everything. And it's going to be phenomenal. So thanks for tuning in, guys. Tune in next time. Through the Bible. God bless, guys.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God could do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.